y'all. My name is Lisa Nicole, independent country artist coming at you from beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Welcome to my podcast, where each week I and occasional special guests aim to inspire you both on and off the stage. Join us as I dig in deep into behind the scenes of my life, my music, my heart, the music business, and exclusive lifestyle and fitness tips. Now settle up and thank y'all so much for tuning in.
Hey, happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. When I first decided who would be my very first guest on my podcast, I thought about one of my best friends, also neighbor, and a badass gal, Gabby Hurley, who I'm going to tell you all about why she's so friggin' amazing in just a sec. And at first, I thought today's podcast would be geared more towards female equality, but when I started digging a bit more, I realized what we really wanted to talk about was more equality for every human. Because an equalist is someone who believes in equality for all people, regardless of their gender, age, ethnic background, sexuality, or any difference from any other people, really. And the more I thought about it, that really needs to be talked about more. And I'm also just learning about it, and it's super interesting. But that said, we're still going to touch on women equality. And before I bring Gabby on, I wanted to touch on a few things about how we have evolved as women. I could never imagine living back in the 19th century when men were the superior breadwinners of the family and women were only allowed to be a housewife. Women could not own property, had no claim to any money they might earn, could not testify in court, weren't allowed to take higher levels of education, and they did not have a right to vote. So basically it was obey your husband, have children, clean, cook, do the laundry, oh, and don't forget you're a seamstress too. July 23rd, 1849 was the first women's right convention held in New York, which apparently sparked this decade of activism, which led to the 19th Amendment, which is a woman's right to vote in 1920. And can you believe that Mississippi was the last state to ratify the vote in 1984? That's like only 5 years before I was born. Women's suffrage in Canada started in 1916 with Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, and by 1922, all the Canadian provinces granted full suffrage except Quebec, which wasn't until 1940. Those poor French women. Furthermore, than just voting, there is so much it took years for women to achieve. Like in 2013, the U.S. military removes a ban against women serving in combat positions. And in 2016, Hillary Clinton received the first woman to receive a presidential nomination. And now in 2020, women are more powerful than ever before, yet there are still a few things we need to sort out. Additionally to all this history about the ladies, there's so much equality in our world that needs attention. Before I go any further, I'd like to introduce Miss Gabby Hurley, who began her journey on industrial job sites 11 years ago. Yes, she's a woman working in the trades. And in addition to being a Red Seal carpenter, champion associate of the BC Center for Women in the Trades, and a dedicated advocate for the safety profession, she is a noted speaker on the Women in the Trades movement. Recent highlights in her career include winning the BC Construction Safety Association Builders Code Contractor of the Year Award. Whew, that's a mouthful. And also a personal achievement of the Excellence in Safety and Service Award from her employer. When she's not working towards the goal of a positive, forward-thinking, and sustainable safety culture, she enjoys the outdoors, team sports, and supporting local community events with friends and families. See what an amazing woman she is. Welcome, Gabby.
Hey, Lise. It's an honor to be featured with you on your podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I love your new song, Wait on Me.
Thank you.
And congratulations on being named BC's Future Country Artist of the Month.
You're a good little researcher, aren't you?
Well, I follow you on all social media platforms.
Social media, so. I know.
And I agree, women have come quite a long ways and we still have further to go. So it's going to be an exciting conversation.
Yeah. And it's so cute, like talking about you and your woman in trades, and you show up here in your like Samo dinner jacket, which is totally like, I'm a trades girl. If you don't know what that is, it's like plaid.
Basically.
Basically.
Kootenai plaid. Yeah. Plaid. Well, it's comfortable.
I know.
So
I love them. Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to talk a little bit about feminism and a little bit about equality and women in trades and all that stuff.
A great mixture.
Yes. And I'm so excited because I'm also a little bit nervous, as you can tell.
Because no. You're the first person on my podcast.
It's amazing.
And I'm always used to being the person being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different.
I'll throw you some pop quiz questions. Okay. Make you feel more at home.
Perfect.
Like, okay. Where did you get your cardigan?
Oh, actually, one of my best friends, Carmen, gave it to me.
Nice.
Years
well, shout out, Carmen. Here.
Thanks, Carmen. So, the tone of feminism. It can sometimes be angry and resentful, and the explanation is often that there's been this backlash in the culture. Do you think there's some truth to that?
Yeah, I do agree. I think sometimes it's considered kind of like another F word in our mm-hmm. culture. Mm-hmm. But if we do replace it with, say, equalist, as you touched in your intro, then I believe there'll be more of a less poorly associated stigma attached to the ideas behind what feminism stands for, which mm-hmm. is very similar to what an equalitist would stand for.
Right.
And I guess, yeah, some backlash would be maybe when someone argues that a feminist is a person that wants certain biases removed from their identity, like a woman has to be the homemaker, but still expects the door mm-hmm. to be held open for them in a chivalrous manner.
Mm-hmm.
An equalist, on the other hand, may be viewed as someone who wants to share both duties as they see fit.
That's so interesting that you say that, because just the other day I was like to Garrett, my partner, chivalry is not dead. And I was like, I wish you would open the door for me more often. He's like, I wish you would open the door for me. And I was like, oh, touche. That's true.
Right. Yeah. Right? Sometimes I'll make dinner. Sometimes you can make dinner.
Yeah.
If I make dinner, then you open the door for me.
I think it's, there you go.
It's about equal.
I know.
Equal duties.
Yeah, totally. So would you consider yourself an equalist over a feminist? And if not, or whichever way you would go, which route would you choose?
I guess I consider myself an equalist that is focused primarily right now on changing the culture around biases against gender roles and women in particular.
Yeah, because it's funny because the reason I thought about this topic was because following you on Instagram as well, and obviously you're one of my good friends, I see like what you post about, and it's a lot about equality, and plus your women in trade stuff that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought why this would be a perfect topic for us. Do you think the feminist movement still shows strength and promise, or do you see it becoming more divided in coming years?
I think that the ideology behind feminism only really has just started to gain mm-hmm. more and more momentum in the last decade. And I think it still has a ways to go before that wave settles down and we focus on other things.
Yeah.
I myself have been personally involved in numerous local and provincial-wide workshops and campaigns to help minimize the gender gap in the workforce. So I think it really just depends on what the culture wants to focus on at the time. And right now, feminism, the wave that it's on, is still going to be riding high and strong.
Yeah, totally. And like yourself, as a woman in trades, why don't you tell us a bit more about these workshops and these campaigns you're involved in? And also, I'd be curious to know if you've ever felt discriminated at work, because you work with pretty much all men.
I do work with a lot of men. I do work with some pretty strong and amazing women as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd be happy to dive into that. Helping other women, girls, and anyone else for that matter, realize their potential by perhaps becoming involved in the skilled trades sector. It's something I'm extremely passionate about currently. Anyone would feel intimidated entering a room mm-hmm. or joining a crew or becoming a member of an organization predominantly run by the opposite gender. So when addressing discrimination, it is important to keep in mind that gender stereotypes play a role in like our everyday lives. And they've done so since we were all born without us realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's hard not to come across certain behaviors when entering the workforce. A lot of women are subject to like these cultural behaviors, and as a result are facing barriers that make it increasingly difficult to stay in trades. For example, what are the odds that both a male and female 18-year-old looking for gainful employment, say they just both recently graduated, that they'd both have someone suggest that they try construction?
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? And it's true that not all females would want to go that route, mm-hmm. but not all males do either.
Totally.
Yet we're not suggesting the possibility equally to both genders. Why? I believe the answer is as simple and as complicated as because that's just the way things are, which is a way to describe what culture really means in the first place.
And where have you heard that's just the way things are
for a very long time in our own homes while we're being raised?
It's crazy because like our grandparents, their grandparents, and even some of our parents, and even some of like our friends, they still disbelieve that the woman stays home and looks after the children and cooks and cleans and the man works. Actually, one of Garrett's friends is a stay-at-home dad, and his wife is a doctor.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really interesting because, yeah, he FaceTimes us all the time, and he's at home with the baby, and the mom's out working.
Yeah.
That's probably the first time I've come across that.
Right. And so it could come as a shock, and depending on how you were raised, it could also come as, well, that's just kind of a one-off situation. Yeah. However, there are two people raising a child, and... raising a child costs money, and at least one person needs to make that money somehow, right? And so I do think that we are starting to see more of that situation, or at least we're hearing a lot more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like myself, even like I want to raise children or want to have children, but I also, I don't know, almost like I'm fearful of having my work time taken away from me. not to sound selfish, but my me time. I've heard of so many moms that just, they become a mom and then they completely lose touch with themselves. I have this, a little bit of a fear about that. I think times are different and it'll be fine.
That could be a different conversation on its own, for sure.
Yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, it's a fun tangent though. And, okay. And yeah, absolutely. There are things to consider when we talk about at-home life and parenting. But I think when it comes to the role of whose job that is, I do believe, again, it should be shared equally.
Yeah.
However that works in your family, in your household, that's something that's up to you guys based off of what you believe in, based off of what you're willing to try out.
Yeah.
And really, it's just about giving everyone the freedom to make decisions based off of what works for them personally, and not off of what historically the culture has done in the past.
Yeah.
And that's what the big idea is all about, is giving everybody a fair chance equally.
Yeah, totally. So culturally in Canada, hockey has been a huge thing for us. And you play hockey.
I do.
A lot. And obviously, we know it's been a very male-driven sport. Why? I don't know why. Why? I know that there are female hockey leagues, but I don't understand or know why females are not in the NHL.
I can kind of go into that. I mean, I'm not a professional
analyst. But you have this huge passion for hockey.
Yeah, you betcha. I definitely, I've been on hockey skates since I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
In a way maybe that you might understand, it is similar to why there are more male country artists on the radio than there are female, is why we see more male professional athletes on the television than we do female. But it is slowly changing. I mean, there's no female NHL yet, but the PWHPA, which is the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, they recently announced female players, they'd no longer be able to play in the financially funded association.
What?
That is, they're not going to be making the smaller paycheck that they were making in previous while playing the sport they love. But there is talk of a women's NHL forming, which is very exciting because the players involved in the PWHPA, they often repeat the phrase equal sweat, equal pay.
So they actually took away their wage.
They did. Yeah. That's they finally crazy. Were making a small wage and they took that away. They said there was no more funding available. I don't know the full story. Like I said, I'm not an analyst.
But still crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I think the reason behind the lack of female professional sports, in my opinion, is it's also similar to why young women typically aren't asked to become tradespeople. We just we don't see enough women doing these things. Mm-hmm. One very cool thing that happened recently, though, was the inclusion of two all-star women's hockey teams playing in a 3-on-3 matchup during the NHL All-Star Weekend event, and that was televised nationally.
Oh, yeah.
That was Canada versus USA. Shout out Canada, we won. Woo-woo. Yeah, it was the first time in history like I've ever got to see the women alongside the men during the national anthem at the same event. And the fact that I didn't have to go to some online streaming program, which is normally where you can find our female athletes, it made it that much easier for these talented ladies to be exposed. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. I think we're on our way.
Get those ladies in the NHL. Gabby will be there. So I love to switch the convo a bit now to equality and equalism for a moment. And since we've been spending a significant time in our pajamas watching Netflix, I recently just watched the short series Self-Made. Oh my gosh. It's based on a true story about Madame C.J. Walker in the early 20th century as she overcomes extreme racism and sexism to become one of the wealthiest women of any race. In America.
Amazing. Such a good show.
Right? Sorry, she became one of the healthiest women in any race in America by selling healthcare products to black women. Have you finished it?
I haven't finished it. No, she's still making her hair care products.
Oh my God, it's so good. I think it's only like 4 hours long, the whole series.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Something like that. There's like 5 episodes.
Okay, well, I'm almost done.
Almost done. I cried. I cried at the end.
Did you?
Yeah, because I was just like, this is so empowering. And these ladies all at the end, it was just really all came together at the end. It was so
good. That's amazing.
Yeah, I sat here by myself and I was just crying away.
That's the perfect time to cry when you're sitting alone in your pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool to see that like on Netflix, those kind of shows really show some insight into equalism and kind of everything that goes on in the world, really.
Absolutely. Being able to visualize by actually seeing other mm-hmm. people doing certain things is the first step to accepting that there is a shift in culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, take, for example, superhero movies. As little girls and boys, I know in the 90s growing up, we picked Superman, Batman.
Right.
Those were our favorites. And now little girls can actually say, oh, I like Wonder Woman. Or right. I like Captain America what is it? Captain Marvel? There's the woman superhero that's the captain.
I don't know too much about the superhero.
But anyways, being able to see mm-hmm. popular women figures to look mm-hmm. up to, that in itself is causing a culture change.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've been lucky to grow up in our generation because we are so open-minded. And I was always raised to never judge people for anything, really. And I think we have a reason to be hopeful. So let's cap this off with a little fun, talking about some amazing women that are making huge waves today. And we're going to do it you go, I go style. So who's a woman you look up to or you just think is really amazing?
Amazing women. I do have a little list here since you did tell me about this question beforehand.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off with Hayley Wickenheiser. Mm-hmm. She's the first woman to play full-time professional hockey in a position other than goalie.
Oh.
Yeah, 23 years. She's a veteran of the Canadian women's national hockey team.
So would she be one of those women that played hockey and got paid and then it had it taken away? Would that be something? Would she be in that?
I'm not sure if she would still be playing. I think when it all went down, she was in the midst of hanging up her jersey.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I'd actually have to look into that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, curious.
But she's just
curious.
I mean, she's represented our country at the Winter Olympics 5 times.
Wow.
She got us 4 gold, 1 silver. And she even represented our country in the Summer Olympics once playing softball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not a lot of people know that, which is sweet because I like playing ball as well. Yes. And they put her in the Hockey Hall of Fame last year.
Oh, cool.
She now works for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, wow.
Not a lot of people know that. She's the assistant director for player development. And she continues to run hockey camps every year for our nation's youth and especially inspiring the young women to join the sport.
Interesting. So she's still in the sports?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. For starters, for me, I obviously have some artist influence here. I think there's so many talented female artists.
Oh, but yeah. Where do you start?
I know. Where do I start? The ones that stick out to me are more than just talent. They're smart businesswomen. And I'm going to lump these ladies together for a moment. Beyonce.
The queen. Yeah.
Queen Bee. Lady Gaga. And Taylor Swift. Those are kind of my first top three.
Hard yeses.
Right? So Beyonce is just a pure diva. And I feel like she's one of those women that walks in a room and everyone just stops talking and stares. At least that's what I would do.
Yeah, same. I just wouldn't know what to do.
I'd be starstruck. I'm a diva too. Yeah. Okay, see how bad that would be? That's what I'd do. I'd make an idiot of myself. Anyways, she is the only female artist to have all her albums debut at number one. And she has 9 number one songs on the Billboard and 22 top tens.
Wow. I probably couldn't even name 22 of her songs. So that's amazing.
I have more numbers for you. But first, I'm going to move on to Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Have you? I'm not sure if you've heard her speak before, but she's like really well-spoken and knowledgeable. I've listened to her actually mostly on Oprah podcasts.
No, I don't think I have.
She has so much to talk about, and she actually now has a makeup line as well.
Oh, sweet.
Fun fact. Interesting. I learned that. So anyways, Lady Gaga. Taylor Swift, too, is also one of the smartest artists I know and also happens to be one of the most successful artists of the last 2 decades.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that she's literally our age.
I know. Like, what a girl boss. Oh, my God. Okay. She has 5 number one songs on the Billboard. And she also, I just feel like she has this, like, hold on her fans like no other. To go from this bubbly country to a badass dance pop and have almost all her fans follow her.
No kidding.
Do you still like Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you had it on the car the other day.
Yeah, you need to calm down.
Sorry, I'm getting excited. I love her, and I've loved her since her. I've loved her since our early days of
the country.
Tim McGraw.
We all have. We're all Swifties at heart. Swifties, even if we don't admit it to ourselves, we see you out there. We see you.
Yes. Oh God. I have yet to see her in concert, though. Have you?
No. Seen my favorite Shania Twain.
Oh, me too. When I was 12.
Oh, when you were 12. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I give her a high five.
Wow. I saw her, I think, when I was 25.
Okay.
I cried when she came on stage. Like, I didn't know I was crying.
What?
She came out. She started singing. I started singing with her.
Yeah.
Biggest smile on my face. All of a sudden, I can feel tears streaming down. Didn't even realize it.
I feel like I always cry at concerts.
That's the only one I've cried at.
Okay, I've cried at every concert.
I was just so happy I was crying. That was pretty cool.
See, yeah. I feel like you were probably crying because you were just like, wow, I love this person so much. It's and true. When I cry at a concert, I feel like I'm like, wow, I want this so much.
Right. Yeah. Different reasons.
Yeah.
She's my number one. We have the same birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We're basically related.
Basically. I love Shania. Other notable artists that I need to mention. Well, Shania Twain, who I just talked about. Shania Twain was also one of the first records that I like listened to. Come On Over. I listened to that record on repeat for so long.
Oh, wow. Did you know she was the first country female artist to expose her midriff in a music video?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Risque. Any Man of Mine.
Any Man of Mine. Yeah. And hey, so Gabby and I were doing karaoke one day and I sang one of her early Eileen Twain songs.
Yes.
If you're a true Shania Twain fan, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew her name. I'm a Shania Twain fan.
But you haven't heard that song. You gotta go.
That's because Shania Twain doesn't sing it. Eileen Twain does.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Funny. Okay. So also, Whitney Houston is amazing. I love her. And I love singing all of these artist songs.
You're so good at singing, Whitney.
Oh, shush. Oh, my God. I don't believe however many number one hits you have completely defines you. But I think it's worth mentioning that Dolly Parton definitely takes the cake on number ones. Number ones. This is not just like top tens, but number ones with 25 number one songs. I would like to have one number one song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's saying something. I mean, I grew up with my mom listening to her on actual vinyl records.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Amazing. Can probably name more Dolly Parton songs off the top of my head than I can Beyonce songs.
Well, Jolene's your like go-to karaoke
that's
song.
That's my go-to karaoke. Yeah. I also really like Silver Threads and Golden Needles.
I love Dolly. She's just so sweet. Okay. So you go. Now it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I had someone else on my list here. It's Maya Angelou.
Okay, tell me about her.
I know we're supposed to talk about women that are currently making waves, and she passed away in 2014, but she paved the way, in my opinion, for women and has left so much of her work behind for others to benefit from.
Yeah.
So she's not only an author, but in doing her work, she's a civil rights activist.
Oh.
She was the first person to make an inaugural recitation since 1961 at Bill Clinton's inauguration in 1993. She encouraged people to take life by the lapels, face your trials and hardships. I love her because she looks for the positive. She never gives up. And her ability to stay strong throughout like the early years of her life, that's what makes her a hero.
Yeah.
And that's all reflected in her writing of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And I do have a copy at home if you ever want to borrow it, Lisa. And she continues to inspire me personally through her literature. And she appears habitually on my Pinterest page.
Really?
Yes. Still, I rise. She's just so motivational.
Okay, well, I'll have to read that book.
Absolutely.
So the book's like a motivational?
The book is basically an autobiography of her life. It's very interesting. It gives you a glimpse into, well, culture and the changes that we've gone through in history.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll have to read that. Okay, there's one lady that I have to talk about. And I did actually have to research a little bit about her. But that's the queen.
The queen that's on our money.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. The literal queen, not just Beyonce.
The queen of the world.
Amazing.
The whole world. And she's held power on the world stage for over 65 years.
That's impressive.
I know.
What a resume.
An interesting fact is she's never, ever taken an interview on her entire 65 years on the throne. How do you be a queen and not do interviews?
Well, that's the point. You don't have to. I guess she's above that, literally and figuratively.
She just gets to sit there and be beautiful. That's right. She's actually been quite tech savvy over the years. And by that, I mean, she is actually on Instagram. And she was one of the first people in the world to send an email in 1976.
Of course she was.
Of course. She's the queen. She passed the Crown Act in 2013, which states that becoming the queen or king would not be gender specific, which is really neat because in the past, princes were closer in line to the throne than the princess. And even the queen is all about gender equality. Nice. She has two daughters and two sons. So this was probably why. So she could keep peace in her family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was like the daughter of a queen, I'd be fighting for that crown.
Well, obviously.
I'd be like, listen, bro, I'm stepping up.
Literally, bro.
I'm gonna be the queen of this world. Okay, tell us about another lady.
Okay, another lady. Ellen. I'm going to talk about Ellen DeGeneres. She's a comedian. She was a comedian before she became a TV host. I don't know if a lot of people know that. An actress, a writer, producer.
Okay, I didn't know she was an actress.
Yeah. She's won 31 Daytime Emmy Award. Mm-hmm. 62 years old, still makes so many people happy on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. She makes the world a better place by using fame as a platform to encourage human compassion. Mm-hmm. And she supports a lot of many worthy causes. Mm-hmm. Over the show's history alone, she's donated over $50 million to various charities and individuals in need. She continues her humanitarian mission in her private life as well. Mm-hmm. So part of her work with Ben Affleck to aid in the end of world hunger includes supporting what I learned was called the Gentle Barn.
Oh.
And I had to look into this further because I knew you'd love it. Okay. Being a farm gal.
Yeah.
These people rescue and rehabilitate abused farm animals like cows and horses. And obviously, as an openly gay woman, she's an inspiring icon for so many. But I really love that she inspires people to act on their instincts and by doing so, make the world a brighter space. Like, the tools for changing the planet are in our hands if we only have the courage to be kind. And she actually has once said in an interview, or it wasn't an interview, I can't remember what the award was for. It was some sort of humanitarian award that they gave her. And her response was, seems pretty strange to get an award for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But thank you.
She's so amazing. She's all about that kindness.
Kindness really does do wonders for people and for the world in general. I believe in that.
Yeah, which totally comes back to like equality, even like, you know, respecting equalism and all that stuff, because I think if you treat everybody with respect, that's just how life should be.
It should be.
Respect and kindness and love. Well, we'll get there. If we're going to dive into the world of talk show hosts, I have to mention Oprah. And also, funny thing is, I didn't really grow up watching Oprah. Did you watch her talk show?
Not growing up, not really.
No, but my mom didn't really either. So I only really got into Oprah recently, which was on her podcast. Where has Oprah been all my life? Like, she's just been on the television, but
yeah,
it was, I guess, kind of not in my time of
and
watching.
In the checkout stand, Oprah magazine.
By the end of her first year on her her television show, she grossed $125 million.
It's almost frustrating.
Almost frustrating. Oh my gosh. She's actually one of the first black billionaires. Billionaires. Okay. And aside from being one of the best talk show hosts, she's also the author of 5 books. She's an actress, a producer, and a philanthropist. Not gonna lie, I had to look up what that word means. And I told you, like, sometimes when I'm researching stuff, I have to look up what these words mean.
What'd you find out?
Well, it's a person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by the generation donation of money to good causes.
Like Ellen.
Yeah. I think it's really cool when public figures with a lot of money do these kind of things. That's what I would do. How incredible is it that she started the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls? A school designed to educate and develop the leadership skills of young women in South Africa. I could go on about her.
I'm going to mention another one.
One more.
Emma Watson.
Yes.
I'm going to skip to what many people may not know about our beloved Hermione Granger.
Oh, Harry Potter.
But she's become an outspoken voice in the fight for global women's rights. Not only for women's rights, but how men should be more involved in feminism.
Interesting.
She's got this great quote that both men and women should feel free to be sensitive.
Aww.
Both men and women should feel free to be strong. In July of 2014, she's actually appointed a goodwill ambassador for the United Nations Women.
Whoa.
Yeah, and she's trying to spread the word that feminism is not a dirty word and that gender equality benefits everybody. We're not just fighting for girls. We're fighting for the world.
Yeah.
As somebody else that popped into my head, obviously, inspiring female list could be quite large, but
I know.
I really gotta give a shout out to Michelle Obama.
Oh my gosh, totally. And yeah. Her husband. Oh my gosh.
Did you read her book, Becoming?
No, I haven't.
It's very good. Highly recommend.
Do you have it?
I have an audiobook of it. Yeah.
It's pretty much like a podcast.
Basically. It's so good though. Gotta check it out.
Oh, fun. I know there's so many amazing, not just women in our world, but people in history that make really amazing movements that I need to know more about.
It's very inspiring to see the changes that people are pushing for and striving for. And also, I mean, life in general is about finding other people that don't make you feel isolated in the way that you're feeling. And so it's so refreshing to read about these people that are trying to make a change that you also see necessary to make in the world. Yeah. Makes you feel more empowered to stand behind what you believe in personally.
Yeah. Oh, Gabs, you're so awesome. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
This was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
You're my very first guest. Oh, so special.
I'm honored.
Hopefully we'll have to have you on again. What's next for you? Who knows? What is next for
the
you?
The world is my oyster, Lisa.
Ooh.
Yeah. Figure it out as we go.
We're going to have to touch base here, even though I see you like all the time, but
I'll do a follow up
and see where Gabby Hurley is. Well, thanks for listening, you guys. And we'll see you next week. And also, if you want to check out Gabby, she's on Instagram.
Right. You can find me at Gabrielle Hurley, which is spelled GABRIELLEHERLEE.
Perfect. We'll leave that in the show notes for people.
Yay. Bye for now.
Bye.